Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Mercy Talk. This is Jen Otero.
And this is Melanie Wise. And we are really excited to have you with us this week. Last week, we talked about just the difference between treatment and transformation. And then we also shared that we're going to be moving into kind of a new series over this month of April. And we're going to be talking about just the issue of abuse. And if you've been following Mercy Talk for the last few months, we've kind of been hitting on different issues from month to month. We've talked about self-harm. We've talked about addictions. We've talked about eating disorders. And we're going to be talking about abuse over this coming month. But just kind of feel like it's important that we, you know, before we get going into this issues, that we make sure that we understand that this, a lot of times, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, is the root behind of those behaviors that we see. You know, we also just kind of want to give our listeners a heads up that that's what we're going to be talking about. Today is really going to be just about kind of facts and signs and symptoms of someone who is experiencing abuse. And so we want to make sure that people know that going in, that that's kind of where we're headed. And if that's something that you've personally experienced, we want to make sure that you know kind of what's going to be discussed over the coming days.
So just to prepare, you know, your heart and your head as we get ready to talk through some of these things. And even as we talked before we got started, it's not like we're going to go into any graphic details of things. I mean, when we talk about the different forms of abuse, most people understand what those are. So we're not even going to really delve into that. But just, you know, I think sometimes, you know, especially if you're in a position as an individual where you want to overcome and you, you know, you listen to the podcast and that kind of stuff, we just care enough about our listeners to go, hey, heads up, this isn't just going to be about eating disorders. We're really going to be talking about abuse and the difficulties that really come along with that. And so just to be prayerful and mindful, you know what I mean, as we kind of delve in. And so really, you know, we always want to start off with a good definition of what abuse is. And so it's a systematic pattern of behaviors in a relationship that are used to gain and or maintain power and control over another. And so if you've ever experienced abuse, you know that that's very much, it's often very much a power and control issue that's happening. And so really the different types of abuse we always want to hit on and just really chat through is, of course, physical abuse, sexual abuse, and emotional or verbal abuse. Those are the main three types of abuse. I think that the majority of the community, the majority of population understands what those all kind of fall into. But the one that I like to kind of hit on when we talk through abuse is really that physical neglect. I think we often talk about the different forms of abuse and people have an understanding of what those mean and how they affect. But I think sometimes neglect can almost take a back seat to the other forms of abuse. And what I have found as a counselor over the years is that those other forms of abuse really cause a lot of chaos and issue and brokenness and hurt. But I think neglect can really be right up there with the rest of it as well in some really significant trauma and issue in people's lives, especially when it comes to attachment. You know, if my needs aren't met as a kid and I'm not taken care of and I don't have the food or the housing or even just the physical touch that we are created to have given to us by our caretakers and by the people that are put in that care of us, it really can affect and create a lot of issue. And often if you're dealing with neglect, you're often probably going to see those other forms of abuse in one form or another. And so it's just really important that we have a clear understanding of what those things look like and how they affect. And so it's just really just hard stuff, but really important that we understand how that affects us.
Right. Well, Jen, as someone who might be a helper out there who is maybe in relationship with someone or know someone and is thinking, I feel like there might be something going on here and there might be some abuse going on. Are there any very specific helpful signs that you could say, like, here are some things to be looking for? And if you see enough of these, you might really want to start having that conversation or asking some questions. Totally. Are there some specific things that you could help people with in that?
Yeah. And I think we always want to make sure that we point out, even as we list some of these signs, that just because you see one or two does not automatically mean that someone's being abused, you know? But there's something to be said about being prayerful and discerning and mindful. And like we talked about even last week, that true healing comes through Jesus, but also through relationship. And so these are going to be youth pastors. These are going to be teachers. These are going to be people in your lives that begin to go, wait a minute, something's off. They're acting unusual. You know, like suddenly grades have gone down or they're suddenly being disruptive or suddenly have shut down and are so isolating and quiet and just don't seem like themselves. Of course, we're going to be looking for repeated injuries. You know, if you suddenly are starting to see something kind of coming up, perhaps there's some physical abuse happening and they suddenly have a lot of, you know, bruises or just really aren't wanting to, you know, maybe it's summertime and suddenly they're wearing a lot of clothing because they're covering up some things or, you know, you're going to be kind of on the lookout for those types of things, especially when you're looking into those emotional pieces, you know, suddenly depression or anxiety or just really low self-esteem just starts to pop up. And they are typically a very outgoing, you know, gregarious individual. And suddenly they've really kind of shut down and turned in. If you're seeing a lot of disturbed sleep, those types of things, acting out in inappropriate ways, depending on their age, that often can be a huge, huge sign if there's some sexual abuse happening. Mm. You know, if they're beginning to act out in ways that you're like, whoa, this is not something the child just suddenly starts doing unless it's learned behavior. That's a huge, huge sign. And often, even as we've talked over the last couple months, eating disorders, self-harm, just different types of those types of things that you begin to go, whoa, this is there's something really going on here, that there's some behaviors that are being picked up to help cope with what maybe actually is going on at home or in that relationship or in that friendship or whatever it may be. Yeah. And so really, like I said just a second ago, it comes back to being in relationship with people that you begin to recognize these signs that something is off and I need to start really being prayerful and starting to have some conversations and being on the lookout for some shifts that perhaps have happened in their world.
You know, I think whenever I did start working here at Mercy, you know, I knew that abuse was out there. I knew that, that this was something that happened. I've been just, I was floored when I first started working here about how it was the root of almost every one of the girls' stories that's here at some level. And just how common it is. And it was very hard to, to realize that. But, you know, just also realizing that, like you just said, we talk so much. And if you didn't hear our podcast last week, I encourage you to do that. We just talk so much about how important it is to get to the root of people's issues. And you know, when we even talk about eating disorders or self-harm, or it might just be things like fear or control or, you know, insecurity. It could be so many different things as far as how it looks. But a lot of times when you start digging into the roots, there is, first of all, going to be lies that that person believes that's leading them to that place. Absolutely. Lies about themselves, about God, about other people. But those lies came from somewhere. They don't just typically just randomly spring up out of nowhere, you know. And a lot of times those lies are rooted in some sort of painful experience that that person had. And I just can't believe how many people, not only here at Mercy, but as I'm just meeting other people, how many people that's part of their story is abuse at some level by someone that they were supposed to be able to trust and that was supposed to care for them. And so I think it's really just an important thing for us to realize that this so many times can be a huge part of that root in a lot of people's lives.
Yeah.
It's not always, you know, it's not like if somebody's really struggling with something, there must be abuse somewhere in there, but it is so common and not something to be too naive about, especially as someone who's helping.
And I think sometimes too, you know, even as we talk about, you know, our Mercy girls, and I mean, you're dealing with often the girls that come into our program have high level trauma. They walk through extreme abuse in all four of these areas that we've talked through. But I think there's something also to be said about the person who's listening, that maybe they're in a relationship with someone who's verbally abusive, that is not kind, that says things that are hurtful and harmful. And I think sometimes what I have seen with girls that I've counseled, especially in the community, is they have a hard time recognizing, well, that is actually abuse. That is something that is abusive to me and to my heart and to my character and who I am. Just because I'm not being sexually abused or there's this extreme trauma behind it, there's still some details in my relationships maybe, or in that friendship, or just different things that are actually quite abusive. But we were careful not to just put that word on it because it feels like it's too big. But I think sometimes even as I've counseled folks, there's something to be said about, wow, that doesn't make that person an abusive person, but that was an abusive moment. They were not walking out relationship with you in a way that was okay. You know what I mean? And so I think sometimes we can hear the word abuse and it can automatically conjure up all of these ideas of this huge trauma. And yes, that fits. But I think there's also something to be said about, wow, if that's something the Lord's putting his finger on, it's not a bad thing to label it for what it is, to be able to move forward in freedom, but also not to make it bigger than it is either. Do you see what I'm saying? But I think sometimes it can start to get a little minimized if it doesn't feel like it's this huge, massive thing. And I think that's sometimes a hard part too, is identifying abuse for what abuse is if it doesn't feel like this big, huge thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm also even thinking about those who, you know, may have abuse in their story, or maybe you're in relationship with someone who has abuse in their story, and they just think, you know, like, well, that's old news. Like that happened. It's dead and gone. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I'm good. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. But there are things that are happening in their life that, you know, may be the result of having not really gotten healing from that. And it's okay. We don't encourage people to just go back and just sit in their past. But there's a really important piece to going back to your past and finding some healing from some of those things that maybe you never did get healing from. Mm-hmm. And until you do, there are going to be issues that you're going to be dealing with for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes there is a need to go back and process some of those hurts with the Lord. And we'll talk a lot more about that in the coming weeks. Sometimes this week is so hard.
We can get ahead of ourselves.
Talk about all these facts and all this hard stuff. And then it's like, well, good luck. You know, I mean, we really do. We have some really practical ways for you to be able to help someone or even personally be able to walk through some of that healing. But, you know, today I know we're kind of focusing more on just what it is. But I think what I'm trying to say in this is that, you know, I think it's important to not just say, well, there was abuse, but I'm fine. Like, I don't need to deal with any of that. That was in the past. That was, you know, 20, 30 years ago, and I'm fine. You know, there may be, if there are some issues that you're still dealing with today, there may be a need to go back and find some healing from that and understand that it really can be a pretty significant root in somebody's life if they don't deal with it. So,
absolutely. And to be willing just to go there, to, you know, to connect yourself with a trusted person, whether that's a counselor or a mentor. And just as we've said so, so many times, but I'll say it again, that the Lord is so faithful to heal when we're willing to go there. And he's so faithful to guide and lead the way that's supposed to look. Some people, it needs to be a counselor. Some people, it needs to just be a really great mentor who knows how to get into those heart things. But the Lord knows from your story and what you've walked through how to connect you with the right people and the right circumstances and the right settings and different things. I mean, even creating, sometimes a lot of folks are like, well, I can't go to counseling because I can't afford it. Ask the questions, see if there's sliding scales, like talk through those things, because I think sometimes we can shut down the form and the opportunity to be able to even receive the healing that we need before we even, the Lord can even create a way. Do you know what I'm saying? And so really being willing and going, you know what, Lord, I'm willing to go there and recognize that this is probably a part of it. And it may have been 30 years ago, but I'm still dealing with X, Y, and Z. And I'm tired of X, Y, and Z. I want freedom and wholeness.
Well, and
you know?
I think there's also probably a fear of like having to go back and walk through and relive. And I don't want to go back to that painful place in my life, you know, but sometimes just having that picture of what it's going to look like on the other side is the thing that can keep people moving forward and keep going forward. Like when they've got a vision of what wholeness and freedom and healing is going to look like on the other side, if it means that you're going to have to invest a few dollars in potentially going to see a counselor, like it, whatever it's going to take to get you to that place is worth it.
And I can say so many times I have had people come in to meet with me and they have put it off and put it off and put it off out of fear that it's going to end up being this huge monstrosity of a deal. And they suddenly go, wow, that was not easy. That was hard, but it was nothing like what I had made it out to be in my head and my heart over all these years. As I put it off and I didn't want to go there, it started to grow into this big monster that when I finally faced it, I realized, wow, it was more like a little bunny rabbit. Yeah. You know, like it was significant and it was hard, but it wasn't what I had made it out to be. Because suddenly when you invite the Lord into it, he has a way of making it manageable.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not alone in it. And if you're in a healing season without the Lord, I encourage you to make sure he becomes part of it. Yes. Because as we've said over and over again, healing is not possible apart from the work of the Lord. So,
well, and I mean, I want to make sure that we always remind people about the importance of talking to a trusted person. You've already hit on it, but like you're not in it. God did not intend for you to walk through it alone. And he desires for us to have those people in our lives that are going to be, as we've said before, Jesus with skin on, and just be people that will love you and will extend grace and understanding and compassion, but also just help. And that may be, like you said, a mentor or a trusted friend. It may sometimes be a professional counselor in circumstances. And so the importance is just sharing it and getting it out in the light where the Lord can heal.
Absolutely. And I would just add too, just thinking back to last week and our time with Hazel, I would just really encourage our listeners that are overcoming abuse or kind of in a place where they're like, because often she hit it right on the nail right on the head, is that often when you've dealt with abuse, there's that place of where was God and why did he allow this? And, you know, we can maybe trust people, but trusting the true healer is really difficult if you walk through things and you have those big questions remarks, I would really, really encourage our listeners to go back to last week and just to hear her testimony and how the Lord went straight to the heart of the matter for her and really hit on where he was and what his thoughts are and, you know, really went to the heart of that question that I think I would say the majority of people who have walked through a season of abuse in their lives have asked that question. Where were you? Why did you allow this to happen? How could you be a good God and allow this to happen? And so I would just really encourage folks, if you've not listened to last week, there's some really powerful testimony that we've put up. So take the time, listen to that, because I think it'll be very encouraging. Well, Mel, as you said, it's so, I always find it so hard on week one because we want to delve into all the good stuff. But I think, you know, it's just that importance of going, you know, as we talk through abuse and a little bit about what it is and how to identify it, there is always hope that nothing is too hard for God. And that when you invite him in, he's not freaked out or overwhelmed. He doesn't fall off his throne. He's not also so distant from it, you know, that he's so involved and compassionate and so committed to us overcoming. It just makes me think of the scripture in Psalm 147, 3. He says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So he's close to us in the midst of that. That is his promise, that he's willing to meet us in those things. And so, you know, as we really wrap up for this week, I'm excited to just kind of come back together next week and to continue this conversation of what do we do to begin to overcome? That healing is so possible, but how do we get there? What do we begin to do with that? And so as we get ready to wrap up for today, we just really want to encourage you that at our website at mercymultiplied.com, we have a variety of resources and we're going to continue updating those. We've got some different freedom tools. We've got some different things. But one of the things that I just love, especially as we're talking through the different issues, is our free downloadable eBooks. And you heard that correct. They're free.
Free.
They're under our resources tab and they really hit on a lot of just different issues, including overcoming sexual abuse. They talk through just what sexual abuse is, but also what to begin to do with it. And so if you are a helper, if you are someone that is overcoming or dealing with your own abuse story, I would encourage you just to jump on and to take opportunity with those. They're just a PDF. You download them, you print them. So we just encourage you to check out those resources. There's a ton online that we really believe will be helpful for you. So again, we're so glad that you're able to tune in with us at Mercy Talk this week. We hope you have a great week.